Today we have the opportunity of listening to Joseph Guerrera, who is bringing the message to us today. And so, Joseph,
it's yours.
Let's pray, shall we? We do pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and move among us, and that you will anoint your word as we read and as we look at your word today. Give us the strength and the power of your sweet, gentle spirit as you reveal to us and speak to us about Jesus. Amen. How many have ever been to a poetry reading? Anybody? A few. Well, we're not going to do a poetry reading this morning. But we are going to do something different. I'm not going to really preach. We're going to read the scripture. Once in a while I may make a comment, but we're going to read the scripture. So the main scripture is from 2 Corinthians. And I guess I do need my notes. Otherwise you'll be looking at my back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. What you'll see on the screen is the dark black, which is King James Version. And underneath, you will see some other expressions or translations. And, for example, Knox there and the Phil, I'm not sure it's who his last name is, but the abbreviations are there, giving him credit for the way he translates it. So we read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts," and that phrase, and we're going to be doing it by phrases for the most part, "the same God who bade light shine out of darkness has kindled a light in our hearts. God, who first ordered light to shine in darkness, has flooded our hearts with his light." Now, commentaries are divided on what the reference here is. Many say that this is a hearkening back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, where God said, "Let there be light." And others say, no, it really is not about creation. It's about the redemptive purpose of God, and refers more to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. And verse 2 reads, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." The passage is messianic. The words are of the redemptive purpose of God. Another translation reads, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live where death casts its shadow." So God commanded light to shine in the darkness to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that we should bring out into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. A New English Bible gives it, "to give the light of revelation," the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have a great contrast. He's talking about the knowledge of the glory of God revealed in Jesus. And Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." This precious treasure we hold, so to speak, in a common earthenware jar. We are no better than pots of earthenware to contain this treasure. fragile, earthen pots. Perishable, earthenware. Utensils of mere clay. The word earthen is from a word meaning baked clay. And the folks who look through all the rubbish of years past find everywhere pieces of baked clay because they used clay to make their household things. No fancy cups, no Starbucks cups, no silver cups, no gold cups. Baked clay. And why? Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That its all prevailing power may be seen to come from God and not to be our own. And this proves that such transcendent power does not come from us, but is God's alone. Ralph Martin has it, to show the preeminent power as God's, not our own. So no matter how battered, cracked maybe, bulging a little bit, maybe even broken, it's to show and compare. This treasure is in earthen vessels. And it's not of us, it's of God. So what is this treasure? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. John, in his writing, is setting the stage to reveal the sacrifice of God, the sacrifice of the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now the word used, word, is logos. And logos means word, but it means a whole lot more than just the word. It means the thought behind the word. It takes us into the mind of God and is thinking of us. As I spoke some long time ago about the Quiche language, there was no word for love. And how was it to be translated? It was translated, God so ached in his heart for the world that he sent his son. Someone says to you, so what's your granddaughter like? And you say, oh, she's a bundle of energy. Behind that expression of bundle of energy, you have the image in your mind of this little thing running to you and say, Grandma or Grandpa. The thought behind the word, logos. In the beginning was the word, logos. So Christ is the embodiment of God's thought. And he existed with God from the beginning. All things were made by him. Everything came into existence through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. No thing, single thing was created without him. In him was life. It was by him that life began to exist. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness. His life is the light that shines through the darkness. What's that light? Remember? Of the knowledge of the glory of God. And the darkness comprehended it not, and darkness can never extinguish it. Then John in verse 12, after talking about how Jesus went to his own, and they rejected him, says, but as many as received him, to those who did accept him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, the children of God. He empowered them to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, to those who have yielded him their allegiance. Have you come to the Lord? Have you invited him in? Have you accepted him? Have you yielded yourself to him? John then goes on and really kind of gives the theme of his book. his writings. And the word, Logos, the thought of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us and pitched his tent among us and lived among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, such honor as an only Son receives, the splendor as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, full of grace and reality, abounding in blessing and truth. The next day, John, verse 29, he speaks of John the Baptist. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, who is to remove, who takes and bears away the sin of the world. Now, Lamb of God to us has an image, but the Jewish mind would have an even greater image, because to hear the word Lamb of God would bring to their minds how they must examine very thoroughly the lamb that they're going to bring to the priest to have sacrificed. It had to be without spot or blemish. And then when they get to the priest very thoroughly examined that lamb for blemishes. Why? Because it was to be sacrificed. And so he says, here is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The book of Hebrews is written to show for the Jewish believer that God is greater than Jesus is greater than the prophets, greater than Moses, greater than the law, greater than the priesthood. His blood is greater. And there are an arena in which he presents his blood as different. He doesn't go like the priest who did once a year into the Holy of Holies. He presented it to his Father. Remember, he said to Mary, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He went to his Father and presented, Father, I've completed my mission. My blood was shed. Here is the blood of the sacrifice. So God who had done, and so the writer then says, God who spoke, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past, many were the forms and fashions in which God spoke of old. Now sometimes when you read the Old Testament, you just have to shake your head and say, what was wrong with those folks? They just didn't get it. There were dreams, God spoke by voice, there were signs, there were wonders, even such a thing as the wind blowing, where it speaks about the getting ready to go into battle with the Philistines, and they were told, wait until the wind blows. And one of the translation is the sound of the marching feet in the trees. The wind blew in the trees, and then they went out and defeated the Philistines. Did they get it? Or what about the four men who were lepers outside the gate and inside they're dying of salvation? And they walk out into the camp of the Armenians who were besieging Israel, Jerusalem. And they're enjoying all this stuff because the soldiers are gone. They've run away. One of them said, hey, we're not doing well. We should go tell the folks inside. God chased them all away. Isn't that a sign of something? Well, are we much better? Do we always listen to what God wants us to do? Do we always do what God would like us to do? That's why we're earthenware vessels. So God spoke in diverse ways and fashions unto the Father by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. Now at last in these times he has spoken to us. But in this final age he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, whom he had appointed lawful owner of everything, by whom also he made the worlds, by whom he made the universe, and through whom he created all orders of existence. It was through him that he created this world of time. Kind of an interesting perspective that Knox had. In other words, without him, hearkening back to John, nothing was made that was made. Who being the brightness of his glory, who being the effulgence of his glory, the meaning is outraying. How do you describe it? The flawless, the very image of his substance, or the flawless expression of the nature of God. That's Jesus. And I love this phrase, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He sustains the universe by his mighty word, also bearing up all things by the utterance of his power. And the Amplified really has the meaning of the upholding. It isn't just holding it. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. So by his mighty word of power, new stars are being brought into existence. New galaxies are brought into existence. And he moves them. And the universe is moving. And he's doing this all by the word of his power. And this one is doing all of this when he had by himself purged our sins. When he had effected our cleansing from sin. That is, accomplishing our cleansing from sin, sins and the riddance of guilt. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He took his seat at the right hand of God's majesty and then sat down in the highest honor beside the great God of heaven. Greater than the prophets. Greater than Moses. Greater than the law. That's Jesus. Or we can go to the book of Colossians. Chapter 1. And the book of Colossians was written to speak against the peril of Gnosticism. Epaphras brought word to Paul. We could talk about that, but we need to move on. Brought word to Paul that there was a problem in the church in Colossae because there were some Gnostics there who were spreading their false teaching. And the Gnostics, some of them said that Jesus was not God. And others said, no, he was not a man. He was an emanation. And he didn't really die. He disappeared before he died. And he wasn't really resurrected. Does any of that sound familiar? Like today? Gnosticism is alive and well in today's world. One of the things that they emphasized was the seeking of higher knowledge. And what do we hear today? The highest knowledge is science. Well, another thing about the Gnostics is there was a wide range of morality. On the very extreme side on one hand and the absolute utter immorality on the other. Also kind of like our world, isn't it? Gnosticism is around. So Paul speaks to this, and he speaks to it in an interesting way. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge, a very interesting word, because knowledge was used by the Gnostics. They wanted to seek higher knowledge. Well, there is no higher knowledge than the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says to be filled with the knowledge of his will and to ask of God that you may fully attain to the knowledge of his will, the personal knowledge of his will. Now it's an interesting prayer because he goes on for many verses. He's still praying. We sometimes just say, God bless so and so. Now, not that there's anything wrong with that. We might have a long list of family. And if all we do is bring their names before the Lord in prayer, we're doing God's will by praying for them. But think about how much more we could be explicit in praying for them, like Paul is here. He goes on. He's praying that they will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, again striking at the heart of Gnosticism, which comes through all true spiritual wisdom and insight by being given spiritual insight and understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And I think we could hearken back to the pastor's message last Sunday as he talked about walking out in our lives, displaying the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be here within the church and the things and the weeding outside, and whether it be speaking to our neighbors. We're to walk worthy of the Lord so that you may lead a life that is worthy of the Lord and give Him entire satisfaction. Then you will live lives worthy of the Master and so please God in every way. The word worthy is literally weight. That you will walk weighty, to weigh as much as the character of Jesus. To have the same value that the character of Jesus has. Walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work, by perennial bearing fruit in every good enterprise. Your lives will be fruitful in every kind of good action. A little later on, we'll talk a little bit more about bearing fruit. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, the word knowledge. All the time, learning to know God better and better. That's why we're here today. We want to get closer to Him. We want to know Him better and better. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Since His power is so glorious, may you be strengthened with strength of every kind. You will be made strong at all points with a strength worthy of the power manifested in His glory. Just as we were reminded about a little earlier. And the word strengthened comes from the root dunamis. And where do we see dunamis? You shall receive power. So he says, strengthened with all might. In other words, empowered. Want to be empowered? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. This is written to me. And be prepared for cheerfully enduring all things with patience and long suffering. For the cheerful exercise of unlimited patience and perseverance. So that you will find yourself able to pass through an experience and enjoy with joy. And endure with joy. That means I have to be patient at those awful red lights. I have to have unlimited patience in the stop and go traffic. Oh my. So you'll find yourself able to pass through an experience. You're going to go to the hospital. You have to go to the ER. You have some illness that you never expected. You find yourself able to pass through an experience and endure with joy. Oh, I need someone to pray for that a lot for me. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through His blood, we sang about the flood of His blood. Often in communion, I am reminded of an old song. The chorus goes, I see a crimson stream of blood. I guess every communion I have that image of the blood flowing. And it says flowing mingled down with water. And the water, the doctors tell us, is that's the sac around the heart. Jesus said, no man will take my life from me. I lay my life down. His heart was broken by the weight of my sin. By the weight of the sins of the world and its awful ugliness. And by a separation from his father, he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because he was bearing the sins of the world. His heart broke. In whom we have redemption. And we could spend a long time on redemption. Because redemption refers to the release of the servant or slave by the payment of a ransom. We were slaves to sin. But he ransomed us by paying the price for us. And that price was his life, death on the cross, bearing of our sins, becoming the sacrificial lamb, who is the image of the invisible God, as in John, as in Hebrews. The visible expression of, the very incarnation of, and the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. We've heard that, haven't we? That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Of things in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven. The spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities. I would have you refer at another time to Ephesians 3, 9 and 10, where Paul talks about that he's been given this commission by God to talk about the plan of God that through the church, God is revealing things to powers in heavenly places. Not just this world, not just humankind, but people. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have." Where? What? We don't know. But it isn't just us. It's the whole universe out there. Or as I like to think, universes. Sometimes ask me and I'll tell you why I say universes. All things were created by him and for him. All things. The whole universe has been created through and for him. And he is before all things again. And by him all things consist. And in and through him the universe is one harmonious whole. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That is, all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. For in him the complete being of God, by God's own choice, came to dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, it was through the Son, his Son, that God cleared a path for everything to come to him. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. To review, in John chapter 1, we find Logos, Jesus, who is the thought of God and is ultimately the expression of love, as we learn in John 3:16. And, notice that it's in bold, and we see the Lamb of God who takes and bears away the sins of the world. In Hebrews chapter 1, we see Christ as the one who upholds all things by the word of his power and who by himself accomplished the cleansing of sins and the riddance of guilt. In Colossians chapter 1, we see Emmanuel, who is absolutely supreme in all things and through whom all things were created, and through his blood provides peace and reconciliation for us all. All of the above that we've been talking about is the excellency of the power that's contained in these jars, vessels of baked clay. So how then is all of this power able to be poured into our clay cup? Well, of course, the obvious answer is found in the "and" portions above. It's because Jesus became our sacrifice And his blood cleanses our clay vessels and removes our sins. But there's more. That's just sort of point one. Now, I don't have 5 points, so don't get nervous. But there is more. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. Remain in me and I remain in you. Dwell in me as I in you. Remain united to me and I remain united to you. The word in there is not just walking in the door. It's an all-inclusive term that talks about dwelling. Jesus said, dwell in me and let me dwell in you. That's how the treasure is maintained. But there's a paradox about the maintenance of the treasure. Because in order to keep the treasure maintained, we've got to give it away. Right? That's how we bear the fruit. We give it away. And then we're refilled. And we give it away. And we're refilled. So why is the Dead Sea dead? Because there's no giving away. It is all pools in there and there's nothing taking it out. That's a good way for us to get dead. Just grab it all inside and pretty soon we'll wither up too. We've got to give out. So this treasure is in us to save us, to cleanse us, but also to be given away. Jesus said in verse 26 of John 15, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, who goeth forth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He will testify regarding me, bear witness concerning me. He will speak plainly about me. And in chapter 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And he who is to befriend you will not come to you unless I do go. The Comforter, your advocate, the helper, the counselor will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Whereas if I go, I will send them to you. And verse 13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, that is, on his own initiative. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will say whatever he is told, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, draw on my truth, be enriched from what is mine. For he will take what is mine, and show it unto you, and communicate it to you, and disclose it to you, and reveal it to you. Acts 1:8. Jesus said to his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is come upon you. And in chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Spirit enabled them to express themselves, as the Spirit granted them to utter divine things. And the pastor preached a few weeks ago about the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My experience was, when I was praising the Lord, I ran out of words. How do you express your praise, your love, your adoration for the Lord? And when I ran out of words, and I was seeking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, suddenly He gave me words. And I was able to adore Him and worship Him. So the question is, are we abiding? We have this treasure. Are we abiding? Are we letting that treasure shine forth in its fullness? Are we in Jesus? And is He in us? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit so that He, the Holy Spirit, might speak to us of Jesus? If our earthen vessel is going to carry the excellency of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, then we must dwell in Jesus and He in us and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is our earthen vessel, that baked clay of ours, kind of bumped and bruised and maybe broken? Is our cup full? It's a good question. There's an old song, old chorus, and we didn't have the chords for that chorus, but I'm going to sing it, and some of you will know it. Fill my cup, Lord. How many of you have heard that before? Yeah. Let's sing it together. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill you with speaking of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Let's stand together, shall we? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Think about that chorus. If you'd like to have your cup filled today, I'd like to invite you to just come forward and gather around. My experience here is that when we gather around together and pray for each other, God does powerful things. So I invite you to come. If you have to leave, that's okay. But we'd like to have you come join us around the altar as we ask the Lord to fill our cups. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and grant the sweating of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole again. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill it up, fill it up, and make me whole. We've gathered around together, Lord, as members of the family of God, and we pray for each other. You reach out to someone and pray for them. Let's pray for each other. Lord Jesus, fill our cups. We are thirsty. We need the quenching of that thirst, Lord. And we ask that you fill our cup. Fill it so that we might give it out to others. Fill our cups, Lord, that we might serve you better, that we might know you better, that we might abide in you better. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Fill our cup, Lord Jesus. Fill our cup, Lord. We pray, O Lord, that you will fill our cup. Fill our cup, Lord. Fill it, Lord. Quench the thirsting in our soul. Feed us till we want no more. Touch him, Lord, and fill his cup. Fill his cup, Lord. Fill her cup, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and fill our cup. Oh, Lord, we stand before you with hunger and thirsting. Quench that thirst by filling our cup, Lord Jesus. Fill that cup. Fill that cup. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill the cup. Let her be quenched, Lord, in her thirst for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Fill him up, Lord. Quench the thirsting of his soul. Fill him, Lord. Fill her, Lord. Fill her, Lord Jesus. Fill her, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fill his cup, O Lord. Fill his cup, Father. We pray that you will just move upon us. May we know you in a full and complete and new way as you fill our cups. Fill the cup, Lord. Quench the thirsting of our souls. Hallelujah. 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 We give you thanks, Lord Jesus. We thank you this morning for your word, how it speaks to us, how it draws us to you. We thank you for coming, touching us by your Holy Spirit, and filling our cups. We thank you that we can go this morning from this place, knowing we have met with you and been revitalized by the empowering of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful message we heard today, and help us fill our cup with your Spirit and with your blood and with your forgiveness. We ask you to be with us this week. Guide us and direct us. Let us give this message to other people. Let us realize that we're not the Dead Sea, that we need to give this message away. We do this in Christ's name. Amen.